Let's continue in prayer. What a beautiful name, what a wonderful name, what a powerful name is Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, as we engage with your written word and hear your spoken word, would you continue to open our minds and our hearts to who you are and who you call us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, we are in the second part of our series, which we've titled How to Get Along with Others, Jesus Style. The style's missing from there. Style's missing from me. I don't have much style, but it's obviously missing from there as well. I'm not sure why. That's okay. It's probably my fault. If you weren't here last week, we heard that when we boil life down to everything, when life is boiled down, it's all about loving God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and loving others, or our neighbour, or other people as ourselves. And last week, we said, of course, saying love others is actually easier than actually loving others. And we heard last week that everyone is normal until you get to know them. That we're all a little bit dysfunctional in some way, shape or form. That we're all as is people. Because no one's perfect. Bless you. No one's perfect, and there's always something that is happening in our lives that perhaps we need some help with. And so last week we began looking at the life of Jesus and how he did relationships. And we recognized that Jesus has phenomenal teaching, doesn't he? And he produced amazing miracles. But when we look at his life, those things didn't happen outside of relationships. And so there's a lot we can learn from him. Last week, we looked at four skills or four things about relationships with Jesus. Now, who was not here last week? It's okay, just so I know. Okay, I'm not going to ask you where you are. It's not a test. It's okay, unless I need to ask you where you were. But by way of reminder, we talked about four skills or four different areas of relationships, of how to have great and healthy relationships. So the four things were these. First of all, accept. That we accept people. We accept them for who they are, for where they are. It's a great gift that we can give. Second, we looked at listening. And the art of giving full attention by looking into someone's eyes. I used the example last week that sometimes, just sometimes in my life, I listen to people and at the bottom of on the news on the TV, there's that little thing that goes across that tells you all the other things that's happening. That's not listening if you're reading that while you're actually trying to talk with somebody. So accepting people, listening to people, and then we'd moved on to something a little bit deeper, which was empathy. And that goes beyond listening to entering into someone's world, to going beneath the surface of their heart, from trying to see things from their perspective, from being in their shoes. And we said, really importantly with this, that everyone has a story. That you have a story. And I have a story. And understanding that story helps us to relate with that person. And the fourth thing we looked at last week, does anyone remember what it was? Authentic. Who was that? Well done. Top of the class, Beth. There will be a test at the end of today just for all those people who are competitive. But it's been authentic. And I reckon this is the hardest one for most people. Taking off the mask, being vulnerable about who we really are. And we talked about being authentic as a way of really helping relationships to be deep. And I reckon that's one of the hard things for people in this church to do. Because we like people to think that we're okay. And we talked about moving to this place where you're vulnerable enough. So if someone said, hey, Marg, how are you going really? That Marg could be authentic and honest enough to say, this is how I really am. That's what we looked at last week. As I was preparing for this week, I was going to do three more of these. But as I was praying through and reading through and struggling through this week, we're only going to be doing one thing today. And I actually think it's the most critical thing for every relationship. The relationship with your family, with your friends, at your work, at school, at uni, and of course within the life of this church, I think what we're talking about today is most critical for relationships. And I mentioned earlier that we're going to be doing a little bit of teaching techniques today. I'm not going to make you do symbols for things from now on, but I'm going to ask you to repeat a word or two, okay, during the service. So, the one thing today, the fifth skill in this series, or the fifth thing about how we see Jesus relate, has to do with, forgive. The F word. Can you say forgive for me, like you mean it? Forgive. Forgiveness. Okay. The reality is, it is inevitable that people will get into conflict. You will have conflict in your life. In every church, in every life group, in every ministry, in every family, in every workplace, in every group, who knows that there is normally someone in one of these areas that's known as Mr. or Mrs. Sandpaper. You know the people that just rub you the wrong way? You don't even have to think about who that is right now, because you know who it is, right? If you're sitting next to that person, just look straight forward. And if it's a person you're looking at straight forward, just look to the side. I'm going to just text to make sure I'm not anyone's sandpaper. Maybe I am. That's okay. We can talk about that. You know. This is a reality in life. And here's the deal. If you leave that church, if you leave that job, if you leave that group, if you leave that whatever it is, how many of you know that Mr. and Mrs. Sandpaper have cousins everywhere? Everywhere there will be people that rub you the wrong way. And it's not because they're bad. It's not because they're awful. It's just that sometimes we just don't always get on, do we? And here's a dirty little secret. You might be someone else's Mr. or Mrs. Sandpaper. And you think, not me, not I. Right? It's a reality in life. And we need to deal with it. Jesus himself said in Luke, it is inevitable offences will come. The issue is not, will you have conflict? And if you've never had conflict, you mustn't be very old. The issue is, how are you going to handle conflict when it does arise? And Jesus not only modelled this for us, but he taught us, as his disciples, how we should respond. So, here's Jesus being nailed to a cross. And in the midst of the most horrific thing to happen to him, what are his words? Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Doesn't that blow your mind? They hadn't apologized to him, and already he is choosing a forgiving stance towards those who are hurting him. He modeled it for us in no greater way than this. He also modeled it with his disciples, didn't he? How many times did he betray by his disciples in some way, shape or form? Heaps, right? But he forgave them. He brought them back into relationship. He not only modeled it, but he taught it. Would you say this prayer with me, please? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We'll stop there. Jesus taught us to forgive, to ask for forgiveness for the offences we give to others, as well as forgive those who offend or sin against us. He also taught elsewhere in Matthew 18, he says, if your brother or sister sins or offends you or sins against you, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. Now that word go in the Greek, anyone done a Greek study of that word go? Anyone know the etymology of that? The root of that word, you know what it actually means? Go. It doesn't mean just pray about it. It doesn't mean tell somebody else and then allow that to fester. Don't pass it on. It actually means to go. Some would say that this is perhaps one of the most disobeyed commands that Jesus gave. I wonder what would happen if we did this. Now, I want to say, I know that this is complex. I want to say that. I know that because I'm a human being in the same way that you are. But you know what I also know? A lot of the offences that we take on board aren't actually that bad. They're really not life-changing, most of them. They just make us angry, right? And we don't like them. And there's nothing wrong with getting angry, because angry is an emotion. You actually can't help it, I don't believe. Denise, correct me if I'm wrong. You can't help that emotion of anger. Because what happens is our emotions tell us something. They say something is anger anyway. Tell there's something wrong with this other person in the situation, or there's something wrong in me. See, anger itself doesn't get us into trouble, but pride keeps us in our anger. We don't want to go in humility to apologize. We don't want to go and ask for forgiveness. Paul picks this up in Ephesians 4. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Paul is saying, you need to sort it out as quickly as you can. And I think Paul is smart in this. Because if you don't deal with it, somehow it actually gives access points for the enemy to work in your life. He goes on to say in Ephesians 4, to get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And he says, be kind to another, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So learning to forgive is important in our relationships, but it's difficult, right? It's difficult. And I want to make a statement that if you're in the middle of some pain and some unforgiveness at the moment, it might sound a little bit tough. But here's the sentence. Christians should be good at forgiving because we have been forgiven much. Christians should be good at forgiving because we have been forgiven much. They say this, that one of the keys to a successful marriage is not a marriage without conflict, but the key is the ability to reconnect emotionally after that conflict. See, strong marriages still have conflict. They're not conflict-free, but strong marriages have the ability to forgive and reconnect after that, no matter what your relationship. The longer before emotional reconnection, the less healthy that relationship will be. I have to say, we're going to get to this soon. I know there might be some exceptions to these circumstances. Can I just say that? I know there might be. But I reckon that to deal with this whole thing of forgiveness, and remember, we're talking about relationships here, okay? We're talking about relationships with others. I reckon the key to forgiveness is to first actually look to yourself. Who knows that in most conflicts, the other person is 90% wrong and I'm 10% wrong? Is that a fair figure? Or should it be higher? 95% the other person. Let's stick with the tithe, hey? 90% the other person, 10% me. And so when there has been a conflict, it's easy to say, well, they've done this and you've done that, and I've told my friends and they agree with me, and I'm going to hold it against you because you've done this. And I go, you keep playing it over and over and over again in your head. I mean, who's ever seen a bad movie? What's the name of your movie, the bad movie, Stella? Anyone got a bad movie they can name out loud? Nice Guys. Haven't seen it. Sounds bad. It was terrible. There we go. Did you watch it again? Why? Because it's a bad movie. It wasn't good. Why is it that we continue to allow ourselves to play over this issue in our lives in surround sound over and over and over again, focusing only on that 90%? I am learning the hard way that if I looked at taking the 10% that I feel I'm responsible for, it's amazing what that can do in the relationship. It was 2004. I'd been in ministry. It was at the end of my first year of ministry at my previous church. I was a young pastor, young, inexperienced, full of energy. What happened? And I was, remember having a special service at Logan that particular day. And I'd organized for five people and one couple to pray after the service. the way we did church there, we spoke and people come forward for ministry. Holy Spirit worked. It was fantastic. And what happened was this particular day, I had approached certain people because I was talking about certain topics. Invited them forward at the end of the service. A lot of people came forward. It was a wonderful time in ministry. And so I'd organized these prayer people. This one other guy decided he'd come forward and pray for people too. And here's a bit of a maverick. I know churches don't generally have mavericks in them, right? But this guy had been a part of the church for a long time. And so he thought that he had a right to do whatever he liked, whenever he liked. And he came forward, and in the midst of God doing amazing things down the front here, I saw red. I'm like, what the heck are you doing? And so I walked over to him, and we had a fruitful conversation that lasted probably about 5 minutes. And we managed to control the loudness of it, and he eventually went back to his seat. And God did an amazing thing in the midst of this. I remember later that day going home. Should I tell Vicky about this? She probably saw it anyway. I didn't. But what happened later that day is I actually phoned this guy. And I said, you know what? Because, like, you know, I was thinking about it. I went, gee, you handled that really badly. You handled that really poorly. And so I phoned him and I said, hey, look, I just wanted to phone and have a chat about what happened at church today. I'm really sorry about the way I reacted and gave him some reasons for the reasons why I reacted that way. And I said, look, would you forgive me? Who knows how hard that is to say? Would you forgive me? And there was dead silence on the end of the phone. I'm thinking, blinky hang, is this guy not going to actually accept my apology? And he said, look, I understand. I'm really sorry too. I shouldn't have done that. And in that moment, the relationship wasn't repaired, but there was some repairing. I could have just gone, you know what? I'm the pastor. You're not. You were wrong. And I was right. But I had to take responsibility for my part. There's some words when it comes to forgiveness that are really important. I was wrong. Can you practice saying that with me on the count of three? One, two, three. I was wrong. Anyone ever watch Happy Days? Anyone remember Happy Days? What could the Fonz not say? Oh, sorry. Oh, I thought it was I was wrong. Okay. That's the other thing he couldn't say. I'm making that up now. Don't go and check it out. I really thought I was wrong. I'm right? I'm going to trust Nick on this one. So you have to forgive me, everybody else, because I just said you're wrong anyway. But you go, I'm... I was... It's such a disarming thing. I'm not saying... Powerful words. I'm not saying take responsibility for that which is not yours, but take responsibility for that which is yours. Perhaps even more powerful words. Would you forgive me? Let's practice that together. One, two, three. Would you forgive me? I reckon when you take care of your 10% or I take care of mine, it's like untying the knots of a rope. You know, ropes get knotted or extension cords. Yesterday we're doing some stuff at home and I had an extension cord that someone had loaned us that was really nicely wound, and then ours, I don't know what happened to ours, but there were knots everywhere. And I'm shaking it, and the knots aren't coming out, and I'm trying to undo it, it's not coming out. When we say, I'm sorry, or I was wrong, or would you forgive me, it's almost like those knots become a little bit less loose, become more loose. Doesn't mean they're gone, but it helps to undo the tanglement. That's what it's like with conflict sometimes. It's like this knotted rope. And when you apologize or when you give a soft answer, it's like you begin to untie that. But there's no guarantee, is there? It doesn't guarantee their response, but you are taking your responsibility for your part in that situation. Can I say very carefully, this is what mature people do, or people who are trying to become mature do. They take responsibility for their actions. Friends, we have to value being reconciled over being right. We have to value the relationship over the issue. In fact, this issue is so important. The issue is important, I should say. Who is right might also be important. But let me ask you, if Jacob and Zoe, if you don't know who Jacob and Zoe are, they're my children. Jacob and Zoe, if they're in conflict or they're fighting, whose side am I on? I had three different answers, none of the ones I was looking at. Someone said Jacob, someone said Vicky's. Okay, I would say I'm on neither person's side, or I'm on both sides, whatever. Let's say I'm on no one's side. Because you know what my heart is? Stop fighting. Stop fighting. Remember that you love each other. And once you've got that sorted, now who hit who first, or who stole whatever it was? Who took their earphones? The issues are secondary. Of most importance is, would you stop fighting? And I reckon when God looks at us as a family, he says, just stop fighting. Value the relationship. Work that out first. Okay, now let's look at what's happened and let's ensure that maybe it doesn't happen again. Where to from here? How to get on with others Jesus style means to forgive. He not only modeled it, he taught it. Because the reality is we'll all get into conflict. I want to give you a tool to think about how you handle this yourself now. So there's lots of things written about conflict. We all have different conflict management styles. And I've heard some that have been described as animals. So I want you to think about the animals I'm about to tell you about and work out when it comes to conflict, which animal are you? Okay? Can you see that? Sorry, it didn't come up too well. Do you know what that is? It's a teddy bear. Everyone loves a teddy bear, don't they? Because teddy bears are so loving. And when it comes to conflict, teddy bears don't want any issues because it's just about loving everyone. And so teddy bears sort of give up on the issue and just try to mend the relationship and then say, look, I was wrong. And it doesn't matter, even when it really does matter. I just want you to hug me and hold me and I'm soft and I'm cuddly. So let's just forget about it all. Let's just keep the peace. That's how teddy bears handle conflict. Others are turtles. What happens when a turtle gets frightened or something bad's going to happen? Pulls its head in. And pretty much says, just let me know when it's all done. Some people here are teddy bears and some people are turtles. It's not right or wrong. It's just who you are. Now, just be careful with this next one because you'll all think of somebody else first. Some people are sharks. The shark's a person that thrives with a good argument. And because of that, they may not actually have many friends or great relationships, but they certainly get their way a lot. Some of us are sharks. And of course, the one that everyone wants to be, the owl, the wise owl, the owl that tries to balance up the relationship and the issue and doesn't give up on either and tries to navigate both together. Some are owls. Do you know which one of these you are? If you don't know, ask your husband, wife, or family member or group member. Because they will know who you are. Here's some insight. It's really good to know who you are in your family and how you handle conflict in your family. It's good to know that for your life group as well. It's not a bad thing because it's a reality, right? Who are you? But here's some other insight. Who knows that when an animal is pushed into a corner, that they can really morph into something else? I have seen a teddy bear that has been pushed so hard for so long, they turn into a shark. this beautifully quiet, demure person all of a sudden explodes. Or the opposite can happen. You see a shark, and they're into the conflict, and they're into it, and they don't get their own way, and all of a sudden they withdraw and become a turtle. This is what can happen. This is what can happen. So what's the best animal? What's the best animal? Can I suggest there's another animal that we should all try to be? A fox. The fox is sly and knows it's not wise to be one animal all the time. In business terms, a fox is a situational conflict manager. Sometimes he's a teddy bear, I love you and I just want you to cuddle me and it'll be okay. Sometimes a turtle, actually in this point in time, I better retreat because it's actually the best thing to do. Other times, they're a shark because they need to be assertive. And can I just say that somewhere along the way, Christians have confused assertiveness with aggressiveness. Can I just say that? We need to hear that. Now, there is a difference, and don't get me wrong. I can be a shark at times. You all know that. But there's a difference between being assertive and aggressive. Who knows that the Apostle Paul, when he was slapped about, became a shark. He said, hang on, I'm a Roman citizen. He wasn't being aggressive. He was being assertive. Sometimes we need a little bit of shark in us to get past the superficial surface of nicety. And then sometimes you need to be the owl. What is your conflict management style? I kind of like that. Here's the thing. Whatever style you are, you know what Jesus says? Disciples of Jesus Christ, you need to forgive. Whatever it is, you have to forgive. Can I just say what forgiveness is not? Forgiving doesn't mean excusing. It doesn't mean forgetting. And it doesn't necessarily mean there will be reconciling. Let me say that again. Forgiving doesn't mean excusing. It doesn't mean forgetting. And it doesn't mean reconciling. Can I say, and this is the qualification of today. You know, there are some very deep things that have happened in people's lives. If you've ever been abused, and that's you here today, and I know today might be bringing up some triggers for you. Can I say that I have been praying for you, and others have prayed for you this morning, that today would actually not be something harmful but helpful. But if you've been abused before, why would you trust that person easily? Why would you be in a relationship in an easy way with me? And you probably wouldn't. In the same way, if you're in business and you have a business partner and they steal from you and they're being dishonest, you can forgive them, but it doesn't mean you're going to work with them again, right? See, in the end, forgiving is actually giving up your right for revenge. Literally, forgiving means to let go of the offense. To let go of the offense. And unfortunately, that doesn't mean the relationship will be what it was. I want to encourage you this morning because this is really, really hard, isn't it? It is really hard to forgive at times. Most of us don't feel like forgiving. That's because forgiving is not a feeling. It's a choice. It's something we have to decide to do. You will never feel your way into forgiveness. Because when you're full of bitterness and resentment and vengeance, you are quite often the one that's suffering. Do you know what I've learned over the years? That when I've been really angry at someone and I haven't forgiven them, 90% of the time they don't give a rip. And my anger and my whatever I'm doing doesn't actually make a difference in their life. And that just makes me more angry, right? I'm going through hell. I want them to go through hell too. And Jesus says, and this is the thing about Jesus and the kingdom of God. It's so different from what the world says. It's so different. In the world we're told, no, get your way, get even. And what happens is we become bound up. It's what Jesus taught in the parable of the unmerciful servant. He basically says, you're going to be in hell until you sort of like let this thing go. And we see people like that, don't we? And it's painful. You've heard it said before, you know, this whole thing of vengeance, an eye for an eye means that if that happens, the whole world will soon be blind. At some point, someone has to say, stop. I'm choosing not to allow that offense to remain. I'm refusing to pay them back. Because when you do that, and this is a teaching of Jesus, you might think you're setting the other person free when you forgive them, but you know who you're really setting free? It's yourself. You're setting yourself free. For many of us, you try to get things sorted out, and it doesn't get sorted, and you get stuck there. But Jesus is so serious about this that he says, you know what? If you've got an issue, try and get it sorted out. If you can't, then take someone else with you. In other words, he's saying, make every effort on your behalf to sort it out. I would say today, if you're in conflict and you can't sort it out, it's okay to ask for help. That would be the authentic thing to do. Remember last week we talked about authenticity? Anyone ever broken down in their car before? What's the worst place you've ever broken down on? Centenary Highway? Were you in the right-hand lane, Margaret? Oh, the right-hand lane, the fast lane.
No?
Peak hour. Anybody else broken down? Southeast Freeway, anyone? No? Worst place, somebody else? Coro Drive. It has to be the worst place, doesn't it? Even worse back in the day when you could change directions and the things would change at different times and everyone would get confused then. What do you do when you break down? Who do you call? Don't say Ghostbusters. Who do you call? RACQ. Some people would say, I'll call Dad. Let's go with the RACQ. Mark forgot a phone that day. You call the RACQ. Because they're there to help you out of your mess. I remember being broken down once. I was on my way. I had a part-time job at the time. I was down the Hyperdome. Mum and Dad were away. I was 17 and a half. The half makes it sound worse than what it is. 17 and a half. And the car would not start. Like, I was driving my mum's. It's a wagon, automatic wagon. Always what every 17-year-old boy wants. But anyway, I was driving this car and I was running late for work. And it would not start. And so I've done what everybody else does. I go, open up the bonnet, have a look under it, and then go, I don't know what I'm looking at here. Does anybody else do that? Has anyone else ever done that? Anyway, it must have been half an hour. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm going to be late. I'm late. The RACQ guy comes and he goes, all right, yeah. Looks down the bonnet, looks in the car, goes, okay, I know what your issue is. You've got the car in reverse. And an automatic car, it has to be in park or neutral. Here I was in this big mess, thinking it's a big issue, and it was something that actually wasn't that bad. But I made it into something that was far worse than what it was. And the fix wasn't that hard. The RACQ guy, I reckon he might have giggled at me. I reckon he might have. But he was there to help. And he got me back on the road. And friends, as a Christian community, that's what we're here to do for each other. The reality is that we will have conflict. But the reality is, we don't have to be alone in it. It's okay if you get stuck. Sometimes things don't get easily sorted. But it's also okay to ask for help. Can I say, talk to Brett. He is very pastoral. Talk to myself. Talk to an elder or a mature person. Talk to someone in your life group. Not to build a case, but to say, I need some help with this. Can you help me see my perspective, but also I might need you to come with me to help sort this out. Talk to a counselor or a psychologist. Can I say there's no embarrassment in that? There's absolutely no embarrassment in that. They are there to help. When life boils down to it, it's all about our relationships. Our relationship with God, incredibly important. And our relationship with others. And key and central to both of these relationships is forgiveness. I know some of you could tell me your story, because I've had the same sorts of stories. But the older I get, the more I learn that most conflicts aren't as bad as what I make them out to be. I just don't want to forgive. And rather than dealing with it quickly, I let them fester. And can I say, there's nothing worse than seeing an unhappy, damaged Christian because of a lack of forgiveness. And I can say that because I have been there. Because in the end, we are representing. Now you might say, Glenn, that's a bit harsh. And it is. I don't know the way around Jesus' teaching to get a loophole out of this one. I've looked for it. And so for me, it's actually become the key thing in relationships with others. How quickly do I release them from the offense that I've felt? Jesus didn't say it would be easy. He gave us some clues how to do this. And rather than legalistically saying the Bible says you have to forgive, and even though intellectually we might know that obeying Christ is actually a good thing and pleases God, perhaps today you need to feel that, hear this. That feeling of discontent or that hurt, if you forgive that, then you'll be set free. I don't care what it is. All I know is that we have to forgive. Let's take a moment to be still. Lord, we recognize that in a group of people this big, that there is no doubt conflict present even now. We recognize, Lord, that we're not perfect and others aren't perfect. And we recognize that at times we make the issue more important than the person. So, Lord, would you forgive us when we do that? Lord, forgive us when we come from an angle of privilege or from I'm no percent to blame for this, to a place where we can even begin to talk about what we talked about last week, maybe seeing things from somebody else's perspective, understanding their story as to why we're in conflict with them. Perhaps it is, Lord, that even though we're in conflict, we can't see the way forward. Lord, we ask for your help in this. So, Lord, if there be people amongst us today, amongst this room, where there is genuine conflict within the body of Christ, firstly, Lord, then help us to settle that quickly. And help us to forgive so that we might be set free. But Lord, in other relationships, Would you, Holy Spirit, be the one that leads us and directs us? Would you give us the capacity to choose to forgive? And would you allow us, Lord, to live in the reality of time it takes to perhaps make that relationship reconciled? Again, Lord, for those for this has triggered something deep, Lord, would you protect their hearts and their minds? Would you help them to take fruitful steps? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.